Hi, everyone. Welcome to Unjaded for the Road Forward, brought to you by Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book. I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, Senior Director of Strategic Planning at Cox Automotive. And it is that time for another relevant and timely conversation with a couple of industry leaders to cover the automotive trends and hot topics that should be on every modern dealer's or OEM's radar like yours for a smoother and more successful road forward. So let's jump right in, because I know this is going to be an incredible conversation that you all are about to hear. I am thrilled to introduce to you Kirk Prizer, SVP of Business Development at Lead Vantage. And Kirk's business specializes in helping dealers convert more leads with less effort, powered by AI, which we all know is a hot topic in today's environment. So Kirk, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jade. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Well, and I'm also joined by my good friend and colleague, Micah Tendor, who is the Senior Director of Strategy for Kelley Blue Book's ICO, and he is a frequent guest expert on our podcast, and I'm always so grateful for Micah sharing his wisdom and insights with you. So, Micah, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Jade. Good to be back. Kirk, good to be with you.
So, Kirk, I'm going to start by asking you, share a little bit with us about your background, as well as where you think the state of omnichannel was during your extensive time with Audi, and then kind of where you see it has evolved to today.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So 30 years of automotive experience, most of that on the OEM side, 15 at Ford and the rest of it at Audi of America. A lot of time in the field. My most recent role at Audi was Director of Retail Buying Experience, where my team was responsible for both the in-store and online purchase experience. Omnichannel was doing really well as we went into COVID. There was a lot of adoption taking place. Dealers were signing up for DR tools, et cetera. But unfortunately, I feel like we've taken a little bit of a step back in recent months, but it's going to continue to be a super important piece of the industry moving forward. Customers' expectations with respect to the purchase experience have changed significantly in the last couple of years, and dealers are going to need to keep up with that.
Yes, it surely all comes down to consumer experience. They want this sophisticated, seamless in-store, online, back to the store, back online, and they want it all to connect. And that really is the future. Where do you see that heading when it comes to the importance of seamlessness for dealers, OEMs, and consumers?
Yeah, a big initiative that I've been pushing for the last few years is use of a digital retailing tool actually in the store. And that's where I still believe the future is headed, because that's the true omnichannel experience, right? So a customer should have the same exact experience in store that they do at home. And the only way to do that is to use the same tool. So if you have a one tool on your website and then you're using something completely different in store, it's going to automatically be disjointed for the consumer. And so to me, the future of the industry is going to continue to be this adoption of DR tools, not only on a dealer's website, but then when the customer actually visits the store, use that same DR tool. Many of the DR tools out there can be used in store to put a deal together. And that's where I see this real omnichannel connection kind of taking place.
And that's where efficiencies are going to come from for the store users as well, because as disconnected as it feels to the consumer in today's environment, it's as hard and disconnected. And I think that's part of why we often see this rub between the traditional brick and mortar selling staff or team and the e-commerce or online or digital selling team. And, you know, if you've heard me at any conferences of late, in fact, the last couple of years, you'll hear me say again and again, it's no longer digital retailing. It's just retailing. It's that experience that consumers want. And you've got to have the right tools that enable your sales team to enable that experience for them. So, Kirk, I know this is an area of expertise for you. So I would ask you, what do you think dealers need to do to improve lead handling performance? And then what blind spots do you think they have? And what's your advice to those we have listening today?
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is a passion for me. This is what our company does on a daily basis, right? Is helping dealers move forward with their process by doing audits, right? So we're going to mystery shop dealers and we're going to find out exactly how they're handling customers. And really the biggest recommendation that I can make is in fact the simplest, and that is just following up on the customer. I know it sounds simple, but we have 17% of the dealerships that we shop don't even follow up on the first day at all. So right there, we have a huge opportunity just for dealers to follow up on the customers that are submitting, you know, leads or buying inquiries to their dealership. Then it gets even worse the farther you get away from the day the lead is submitted. We have 53% of our dealers don't follow up on day two, and 64% don't follow up on day three. And then when you get into week two, week three, so to me, that is the simplest thing that I can give dealers is just a follow-up. And then you can get even more detailed with respect to, you know, the communication channels that they're using. We still have 30% of our dealers out there that aren't using a texting platform, which is kind of amazing to me. That's the best way to communicate with customers nowadays is texting. And only 10% of dealers actually use some sort of video lead response. So those are the top three things that I'm going to give you.
Love it. You know, staggering statistics there. It never blows my mind in this selling environment that we're in when consumer connectivity, and especially we know consumers are submitting multiple leads across multiple dealers. They cast a really wide net when they first start shopping, and that whether that's unmasked, where they're sharing their contact information, or like you said, chat or anonymous text, where they have the ability to communicate. But it's those not only response times, but the quality of the content that are as important or maybe more important in the beginning than even the vehicle and the price itself. That's what's going to get them to reach out to you, but you have to be ready to connect the dots and give them the experience that they want and build trust along the way with every one of those communications. Follow-up is critical. So this is critical in Micah's world because we know inventory acquisition is one of the key elements of a healthy business in today's environment to get incrementality and efficiencies. But getting sales and dealership staff motivated to follow up with leads like ICO leads, trade-in lead valuations. Micah, tell us a little bit about what you're seeing on your side and then what your top advice would be to match Kirk's three.
One of the things that we're seeing and hearing a lot of dealers say is a challenge right now is being able to differentiate between lead types. Because you have a sell lead come in, right? Or buy lead come in. And either way, you need to treat them a little differently. The average consumer is taking 101 days to transact a trade-in. They're almost 101 days to buy a new vehicle. And there, it's a much different engagement experience if you have your CRM, your BDC rep working out of a CRM, following up with an online lead versus you're targeting a Craigslist buy opportunity because it fits your buying strategy. And one of the things that we see a lot of dealers do is they lump all customer engagement follow-up into one bucket. And you really need to be able to bifurcate between those looking to buy a car and the individual jobs to be done they have and the timeline that they have and your opportunities to purchase a car from a consumer and their individual needs and their opportunities. So my number one piece of advice for dealers is be really sharp in how you think about the follow-up. To Kirk's point, you need a different follow-up cadence, whether it's text, email, or phone call, at different points along the journey. And it's going to be different for purchase versus sale opportunities. You need to have a holistic strategy. It doesn't treat it as one follow-up opportunity, and you need your pay plan to align. A lot of dealers are mostly paying on elements that drive a customer purchase. But you also, if you're going to hand a team, the exact same team, the opportunity to follow up with consumers looking to sell their vehicle, they're going to need a little bit of a different incentive package, or there's not going to be enough focus on that set of leads. So it's about bifurcating your focus, having the right follow-up process and the right pay plan for each of those lead opportunity types.
Tracking, measuring success, knowing your two-way communication and follow-up times and ratios are so important. Having the right tools are so important. That's actually a good segue to AI. So Kirk, you work for LeadVantage, an AI company that uses AI to shop dealers and to identify areas of opportunity for improvement. And Micah, I hear you speak quite often of both the advantages of AI, but also some of the pitfalls that dealers can fall into if they're not careful. So Kirk, I'm going to start with you. Share with us if you think dealers are relying too much or too little on AI and what they can do to make the process of AI-generated lead handling work better for them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So AI is huge in the industry right now. It's super important to our company and everything that we do from a mystery shop perspective. And I think that was a good setup because what I'm finding or we are finding when we mystery shop dealers is that they're relying too much on the technology. But that's really kind of the same as what happened when we first started doing autoresponders, right? So I've been in the industry a long time. I've been seeing dealers, you know, adopt new technologies over the years. And when autoresponders came out, there was this kind of like set it and forget it mentality. And I think that AI lead response can be really big in our industry to make that first initial connection with the customer. But what we have to understand is that it's going to be some time before AI can actually complete the whole entire purchase transaction. So at some point in time, a human being is going to have to get involved. And where we see the biggest opportunity is in that transition. And so we shop a lot of dealers that have AI technologies built in, and they're great on the initial lead response. But all we have to do is ask a couple of probing questions that the AI can't handle, which happens in everyday environments. And that transition over to a salesperson is really kind of where everything starts to fall apart. They don't take the time to read everything that's in the system to find out what that customer's done already, where they're at in the buying process. And so that's really kind of what we see. It's almost like these automated phone trees that we now call into today. And so we don't have to sit on hold for 10 minutes waiting for a representative, but they don't necessarily always solve our needs when we're in that automated phone tree. So the AI lead response is great, but we have to get involved and make a personal connection with the consumer at some point if we're going to actually bring them into the dealership.
Yes, well said. So, Micah, to you, AI, too much, too little, and what's your advice?
My advice to dealers right now, I'm actually answer it in reverse, is remember that there's a Gardner hype cycle. All technology, when it first comes out, everyone thinks it's going to solve all the world's problems. Go back to the autonomous vehicle idea. Back when Waymo first came out, everyone thought it was going to be perfect. Then somebody unfortunately got ran over and drugged by Cruise in California, and Cruise got shut down. There is a cycle, and initially everyone hops on AI and says it's going to solve all my problems without thinking everything through. You then see things like that prankster who got a car, that $70,000 Tahoe, they got an AI system to sell it to him for a dollar back in December, if we all remember that. And then the technology starts catching up. So overall, what I recommend to dealers is take a proper perspective of where the piece of technology you're looking to implement with AI is in its life cycle within the broader AI life cycle. Gen AI has only been, or generative AI has been around 2.5 years-ish now released in the wild. And to Kirk's point, there are some areas where you should absolutely be using it. You should be using it in all of your customer follow-up elements. That is one of the primary opportunities to use it. But you need to know where that technology is in its maturity cycle and understand, oh, we need to double down on the handoff part. Or if you're using it for trying to help someone work through, how should I think about my F&I opportunities? What lease rates should I be looking at? Trying to answer questions there. You just need to think of the total perspective of where that piece is within your portfolio and how your team needs to manually adjust against it. And to Kirk's point, that's where we're seeing a lot of the drop-off is in that handover process of not knowing the technology's full stack of capabilities and knowing where you need to step in as a team.
Yes, and measure to understand what's working and what's not. Kirk, you spoke quite a bit today about the opportunities that AI provides to dealers. So one last question to both of you. What's your top advice for our viewers and listeners in respect to the industry opportunities you're seeing help improve the customer buying experience? And then what steps should OEMs and dealers be making right now to take advantage of those?
Yeah, so along with Micah, I believe in AI and how it can assist our business. We just can't rely on it too much. And what we have to do is use it to enhance our team instead of replacing our team. And that's one of the things that we preach at LeadVantage is that AI is there to really make your team better. So whether it's on the mystery shop side or whether it's on the lead response side, you know, use it in conjunction with your team. Then I think we need to continue to push deeper into use of digital retailing tools, as we've talked about, and use in store. Because I really think that's where the transition is going to come from, is once we get more adoption of dealers using a digital retail tool, you know, kind of in store. And continuing to work on training and realizing that technology doesn't necessarily mean we don't train anymore. We have to continue to look at our processes, evolve our processes, you know, train our people, look at the opportunities. And that's what I want dealers to continue to do, is as these new technologies come out, don't look at them as an opportunity to, you know, lower your training or lessen your training. Continue the training. It's just different. It's adopting these new technologies along with your processes. So you have to continuously evolve.
Love it. Micah, what is your one action item piece of advice on this topic for our listeners to take away today?
As we think about DR and applying AI, don't forget that 77% of consumers sell their vehicle as part of the buying experience. Right now, with new car interest rates still close to 9, used car interest rates at 14, and vehicle prices still inflated from most customers' perspectives, they have to bring the equity of the trade. And I see a lot of people in market put all their focus on the DR sell side and using AI to drive sell. If you don't have that same technology fully applicable in an omnichannel experience and applying that AI to the customer purchase, the trade inside, you're having a really hard time selling a vehicle when the customer can't bring their equity. So don't forget about the trade inside, as it powers 77% of the equity driven buy side.
Yes, we need those cars for sure. Well, Kirk and Micah, I want to thank you both so much for joining me today. Such an incredible conversation around the very hot topics of AI, a connected omnichannel experience, and making the lead and overall deal processes better, both internally for the dealership as well as externally for the consumer. I encourage each of you to connect with Kurt Prizer on LinkedIn or learn more at leadvantage.ai, as well as connect with Micah Tendor on LinkedIn or here at Cox Automotive. So there you have it with Kirk and Micah. And that wraps us up for today. So thank you, our subscribers and followers, for watching or listening to this episode of Unjaded for the Road Forward. Don't forget to go to b2b.autotrader.com/unjaded for the Road Forward, where you can sign up to be one of the first to hear when a new episode is released each month, as well as be surprised with subscriber-only bonuses throughout the year. And it is bonus episodes like this one that should encourage you to sign up right now. As always, I'm your host, Jade Terriberry, and I'd like to thank you for joining us. Be sure to tune in next month as we'll continue the open conversation with industry leaders, champions, and disruptors on what they are currently seeing, doing, and forecasting is coming next on the road ahead for all of us in the automotive industry. As always, we are cutting through the noise to drive real results for you.